This is core MPO CAC meeting, February 22nd.
You put your name down on it, because I saw you.
Long day.
Are we using the computers?
I don't think we're using the computers, are we?
Hope not.
No, we're not.
Hope not, because I got to be trained.
Remember, I was here this morning for the zoning board up there, and they were using computers then. I don't think it works.
Okay, first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any comments? All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed? Passes 4-0. Okay, second item is an action item, approval of the October 5th, 2017 meeting minutes. Do I hear a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Is there any comments? All in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Passes 4-0. We're going to be out of here in 20 minutes. Next item is endorsement of the amendments, fiscal 2018-21 Transportation Improvement Program.
Yes, I'll give the presentation.
I'm sorry, what?
Let me turn that thing on.
Oh, it's not on?
The switch back here.
I remembered my hearing aid, but I still couldn't hear you. I thought, uh-oh.
Try that.
Now it's on?
Perfect.
Okay, great, great. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The Transportation Improvement Program, and we have a new member, so I'll just do a little bit introduction, a short introduction. So it's basically, it's a list of projects, and it's a four-year program. Currently covers fiscal 2018 to 2021. It just lists which project in which year will be implemented and which phase. It might be preliminary engineering, or right of way, or construction, or utility phase. So basically, TIP is that. We adopted our TIP in June, but in January we received from GDOT three requests. So I'll just go directly to the project pages. Remember we talked about I-16 widening and I-16 and I-95 interchange reconstruction will be two design build projects correlated with each other, so they will share the same environmental document. We have both projects. We have right-of-way in fiscal 2019, construction in fiscal 2018, 19, 20, and 21 because they're design build project. So GDOT requested that we move all of the money, the currently in fiscal 2019 and 2018 to 2021, to the I-16 widening project for easy accounting. So this is currently what we have for I-16 as I-95 interchange reconstruction in our current TIP. So like you have $2.6 million for right-of-way 2019, and you have a total of $127 million distributed between 2018, 2019, 2020 to 2021.
That's for the interchange realignment?
Yeah.
Or for the I-16?
This is for the interchange.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but what they want to do is, okay, don't show all these numbers, show these numbers as zero. So now they all become zero because all the money has been shown, it's being shown now to the I-16 widening project. So,
is that what's going to actually happen?
Well, these projects are related anyway. So right. They're both design build project.
Right.
Yeah, for some reason, GDOT is saying that this is for easy accounting.
Well, they're going to, so they'll both, I'm sorry to ask so many questions, Jim. Both projects will be constructed simultaneously.
Yes.
But for budget purposes, they've allocated everything to the Y.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes. Yeah, but they said don't delete the interchange project from the TIP, just show them in there, but with $0 in, because all the money is actually included in here, in this project. But those projects, yes, will be design built, and then they will be constructed simultaneously. Yes?
My only comment is they're both badly needed, especially the widening. So, you know, I'm glad to see them doing that. Anything that we can do to expedite it, I'd like for us to.
Okay. So this is just for easy accounting. I mean, that's the reason that the requested amendment. And then the third project is the one, and last time we did the presentation on deleting this project, the State Route 144 widening project in Richmond Hill and the Bryan County, because our portion is located in Richmond Hill. In October, we GDOT requested that we move the project to fiscal 2020 outside of the TIP because of environmental reassessment and the congressional district balancing. So when we did the presentation, we got a lot of opposition, I remember from Richmond Hill. But now GDOT say, okay, they resolved issues for congressional district balancing and the environmental documents. So this project is moving back into fiscal 2018. So this project will be built pretty soon, probably, because this is fiscal 2018. It ends on June 30th. So hopefully by June 30th of this year, this project will already be let.
It will be let. So when do you think actual construction will begin?
I think normally, how long does the construction begin normally? I think 1 month, 2 months after the letting? Yeah.
It depends on the contract terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I mean, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're a lot less prescriptive. It just depends on what they have in the contract.
So we're just
we
trying.
We should see construction by the end of this year.
I think we should.
Wow. Well, the money will be obligated. But
there's no right-of-way acquisition, right?
I think right-of-way acquisition is already done. Yeah, it's already completed.
I'm confused. Excuse me. You're talking about the project that we start in a couple of months. Is that the Richmond Hill project or 1695?
The Richmond Hill one.
Okay.
Yeah, the 16 I-95 one. That one is design built. So even if the contract is let, it will be some time before we see any construction going because it's design built.
I was of the impression that 16 widening was going to start, you know, reasonably quick next couple of years, and that the I-95 flyover and all that was 10 years away at least.
No.
Okay.
No, those are paired projects because they are going through the same environmental process. They were built as, I mean, it says it's built as two separate projects, but I think basically they are building one project that includes widening and interchange reconstruction. So basically we're just helping to move the projects along for this TIP amendment, and we would just request the CEC to endorse the TIP amendments to the MPO board.
Second. Ready for motion?
Yeah.
That's right. Motion approved.
Well, here's a second.
I'll do it. Second.
Here's a motion and a second. Is there any questions, comments? All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Passes unanimously, 4-0.
Thank you.
Shame that Tony's not here. He was upset about that.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah.
Okay, the next item is the endorsement of FY 2019 Unified Planning Work Program.
Okay, the Unified Planning Work Program is the staff work program. It delineates what staff will do next year and also how much money will be allocated to what activities. It will cover fiscal 2019, which is July 1st, 2018, until June 30th, 2019. So it will include the total funding and the staff work and then the budget allocation. So we basically, we are including two planning funding sources in the UPWP, which is the planning funds coming through Federal Highway Administration through GDOT planning, and then the transit funds, section 5303 from Federal Transit Administration and coming through us via GDOT intermodal. And both federal grants will require local match, and we will pay the local match with the MPO membership dues, and then GDOT will come up with 10% for the transit funds. And all these funds can only be used for planning activities, to fund the staff activities, basically the salary of us. And then if we haven't spent, like if we have a leftover of $100 or something, we cannot carry it over to fiscal 2020, so we have to move the money, we give the money back to GDOT, so and GDOT can conduct a call for project for special studies. So the total funding for the staff budget for fiscal year 2019 is $591,000, and you can see the PL grant will have $434,000, and the TR funds will be, transit funds will be about $157,000. And all these funds will be used to implement the MPO's staff work priorities, which are FAST Act compliance, and then planning for infrastructure improvements, including long-range transportation plan, transportation improvement program, congestion management. And so we divided the UPWP, how we write, organize the document based on this, like program support, administration, public involvement, data collection, system planning. The format has been developed by Federal Highway Administration. So all of the FAST Act compliance and the planning for infrastructure improvements are distributed in all of these specific work tasks. So for example, CAC meeting will be covered in community outreach education or operation administration. And then long-range transportation plan, Jane will talk about 2040. A long-range transportation plan, that one is actually covered by like socioeconomic data collection, congestion management process, transit, paratransit planning, bicycle and pedestrian planning, model development, freight planning, all will fit into the 2040 long-range transportation plan. If we can choose, we can just use one category, but unfortunately, this is how FHW breaks it down, so you have to be very specific on what kind of work you do. So this is the budget that shows how much money will be spent on each task. For example, for the long-range transportation plan development, you will have a total budget of about $175,000, and coming from both planning fund sources and then transit funding sources.
Excuse me, what page is on? I'm new, so I'm trying to. Where do I find that 2019? Is that in my packet?
Yes, it's that big. I'm just giving the summary of that big document.
You may just have the staff report.
Yeah.
This
is just staff report.
It looks like.
Yeah, I'll after I finish this.
Sorry, I'll mention it.
Yeah, after I finish this, I will direct you to where the document is. As I mentioned, so if we haven't spent the money, we have to give the money back to GDOT, and then they will use that money to do call for studies. That's discretionary PL. But for fiscal 2018, we actually get two studies. That is, that we will probably award contract next month. So one is for the I-16 at Little Neck Road. Another one is for the I-95 at Airways Avenue. So we're going to do the studies with the PL discretionary grant. The study will be carried forward. It will be conducted in fiscal 2018 and 2019. In fiscal 2019, we haven't received any application or mentioning or from the local municipalities. So like if City of Savannah wants to do something and they want to use the discretionary funds, they can come to us and it will help them. And then we will do the application. So this is the public involvement process. We developed the document in November, gave every survey GDOT 40 days for comments, and received comments, draft comments. And then now this revised comment is going before you for endorsement and adoption. So next steps, we hope that the MPO board will adopt this UPWP in February 28th, and then after that, we will send the document to GDOT and FHWA, and final approval from FHWA will initiate GDOT contract execution. So staff recommendation is for CEC to be endorsed to the MPO board to adopt the UPWP. Okay. Okay, in the Ms. Stones, so when you come over here, go to the, because when Jane sent you the link, so that document, the document itself looks mm-hmm. like this. Mm-hmm. So I'll just open it. So this is the UPWP document, so it's 120 pages. So you can see we have an explanation of what the UPWP is for, what the MPO is, and then all these. So this is what each task looks like. For example, program coordination. So this is what we did in fiscal 2018, in previous year. And then you show what we are going to do for fiscal 2019. And then under each one, we have this budget under each work task to show. For example, program coordination, we are currently budget $40,000. But this budget can be changed as necessary when we do budget adjustment with GDOT. So, yeah, if you're interested, and this is the document, so you're welcome to review the document, but it's a big one, I can show you. It just outlines what we're going to do next year. That's it. We'll just ask for your endorsement.
I have a quick question. This is budgeted at $591,608.10.
Uh-huh.
10 cents blows me.
that's a requirement from the dog, yeah.
It's still, I can see around it awful lot of you.
Well, we once had a quarterly reimbursement kicked back to us from GDOT because of a one penny rounding discrepancy.
Yeah, this
we
is
were right, actually.
This is funded by five different agencies, correct?
No. Basically, the federal portion comes from Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration, and then we have to provide the local match. And the GDOT comes up with 10% for the transit grant. Mm-hmm. So that's three agencies already. And the other local match will be paid by the MPO members, membership dues. So all the MPO members that we define in the MOU, it's like City of Savannah, Chatham County, Pooler, Thunderbolt, it's based on population. So like how much they will pay into it. Mostly it's based on population. And then I think there are some other considerations.
In other words, about 15 entities. You have the two federal sources of funds, and then you have matching funds coming from the others.
I was thinking it should.
It's more than five entities, yeah.
It's all the municipalities, all three counties.
Oh, okay.
The mobile representatives, which are the airport, and CAT as well.
So how about the port?
The port, No, we're not going there. Someone already stepped in that.
That's the reason the port pulled out. They didn't want to spend any money on it.
I wasn't in the room, so I don't want to comment.
Just ask me.
Is there any other comments, questions? Is there a motion?
A motion that we approve it as presented.
A second.
Or endorse it.
Second. Whichever. Okay, is there any other comments, questions? All in favor of the endorsement, raise your hand. Priscilla?
I'm sorry.
Dr. Thomas. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
4-0. Okay, the next item is the status report on the draft goals for 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan.
So the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan will be our next long-range transportation plan. It looks out 25 years, or at least 20 years, and covers the area, our planning area. So we're just now starting to talk about the goals. And we've drafted some, and these are based on certain sources, which I'll go into later. Our current long-range plan has a good number of goals, and those are based on the required planning factors that we have. But every time, just about, well, at least in the most recent authorization from Congress, there were some additional planning factors added. So because of that, I'm trying to make the number of goals a little fewer to make it more publicly digestible, while still covering all the planning factors. So our draft goals here, and we're seeking input and feedback, you know, from you and from the other committees, and we'll continue to refine the goals. The draft goal, number one, a safe, secure, and resilient transportation system for all types of users and for freight. Two, an efficient, reliable, multimodal transportation system that supports economic competitiveness and enhances tourism. Three, access and mobility, equitably and reliably provided for people and for freight through a range of travel options and an integrated, connected transportation system. Four, a clean, healthy, and attractive natural and built environment through integration with land use and consideration of transportation impacts, including that of stormwater. And five, wise use of public funds through coordination, preservation of a state of good repair, and a performance-based planning process. So there are 10 or 11 planning factors now, depending on whether we split up the tourism and stormwater or something. All of these planning factors are covered by these five goals. There's things like economic competitiveness, access and mobility, safety, security, environmental quality. Stormwater considerations were recently added to that. State of good repair, maintenance and preservation is also another factor. We're covering that here, and these also will line up with the previous prioritization process that we used in the long-range transportation plan. We're thinking that we would keep prioritization similar because projects, they take a long time to complete, and so we don't want to keep changing the way we select them. The previous prioritization process did a two-step screening where some of the planning factors were considered in the first screening: economic competitiveness, safety and security, access and mobility. And then a second screening was applied with like quality of life, environment, that kind of thing. So after we finalize the goals, we will have some objectives developed to be more specific and measurable ways of attaining the goals. And those will target how we measure our way toward the goals. So if you have feedback tonight, we can write that down, or you can get back to me later with whatever your thoughts are about these goals. And we will present again to the committees a little, a few months from.
Mr. Chairman, I assume the five that you've given us now sort of tried, you covered the waterfront on the additional factors that the...
Yeah.
I think it's good. Basically good 5 points.
Okay. The additional factors that the FAST Act added were to consideration of tourism, resilience, and stormwater. Am I covering it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned those in your 5 points. So
yeah. So, yeah, we didn't want to have a different goal for every adjective that can be applied to the transportation system. So, any questions?
You don't need any action by us, do you?
No action is required. We're just sharing what our thoughts are right now and happy to have input and feedback.
Yeah. So you just had mine.
Thank you.
If I could deviate just slightly, I had a question that I forgot to ask. In one of the reports, it talks about the performance-based planning and programming requirements. What's that mean, performance-based?
I'm not sure what you're... Are you talking about the UPWP here?
Yeah, it talks about the GWDOT and FHWA January 10th comments were primarily regarding incorporating performance-based.
Okay. Yeah, so part of the FAST Act that we're in the MAP 21, the federal legislation, is one of the newer things that they've required is that our entire process, so the long-range plan, which Jane has been talking about, and the TIP, which was talking about earlier, be implemented in a manner that are performance-based. So there's various areas that the US DOT has designated as priority areas, so safety, state of good repair, and congestion, freight, and I'm probably missing something.
That's okay.
So there's various areas that they have asked or said that we have to designate targets. So for example, for safety, there's targets based on the number of fatalities and serious injuries that occur, and we are the states and the MPOs are now being asked to track that information, and the projects and the types of projects we select for our plan and our TIP should be reflecting that we're making progress towards meeting those targets. So it's kind of like a report, performance based. It's looking at a report card essentially based on these different targets now. So we're kind of in the process of implementing this. We're at the very first target. We've only adopted the safety target at this point. There's several more to go. And when we have the full plan adopted in a year and a half from now in 2019, it will be performance, it will incorporate this whole new performance-based planning approach.
Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of fatalities, I noticed on the sign on the interstate that the fatalities so far this year is like 152.
Yeah.
We've been averaging over 100 a month. Yeah. So it looks like if the figures are correct, up to date, there were about 50 less this year so far than normal.
Yeah, I think also like the I-16 widening and the I-95 interchange, those two projects, they probably will be evaluated by like how much they contribute to relieve the congestion and reduce the crash. Yeah. So they probably evaluate like that.
So each project has a safety element, a congestion relief element, or some kind of element that's improving freight movement. And those will be sort of what's being graded in terms of the overall performance. So there's various things, different types of technical measures that the state has the state has a little bit more, they could actually be, if they're not meeting their targets, they could actually be penalized. The MPO wouldn't. The MPO is just sort of like a piece of the pie fitting into the state's overall goal of meeting these targets.
Does I-16 widening and interchange realignment, does that meet the goals?
Well,
it's an overall. It's not only that project. Just that project has a component in it.
Yes.
Like that, especially about interchange reconstruction. Definitely, it will. I think reduce fatality.
So it's actually like when they go back and collect the data on fatalities and serious injuries and then say, oh, we implemented that project, it did help. It's a little bit going back.
Okay.
Yeah, and also looking forward too, because when you present your brand new project and you say you want it to be in the TIP, they say, well, it's gonna help safety. So that should give it a little bit of a nudge maybe over a project that wouldn't be a safety project.
Yeah, so you have to justify a project by prioritizing them.
Well, I thought that's kind of like what I was asking. I thought I-16, those two projects mm-hmm. were already at the top, and they were not going to be changed. No projects in the leap fall over them or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I think for looking for the future, that will be more for new projects. So how do you evaluate the new project? But for the existing projects, they already have components of those. Like those two projects, they will probably improve safety. They will reduce congestion. They will promote freight movement, but asset management, I don't know. I mean, but it's because you increase capacity, that's probably not asset management. But
You already
meet those criteria.
Measures. I'm not sure that I see like our overall project list changing drastically based on these performance-based planning goals because we're already doing a lot of this stuff.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Okay, agency reports. Is there anything additional?
We provided a handout that GDOT gave us today at the TCC. It has some status of some of their projects.
Other business. I don't know if any of you had an opportunity to go over last week to the Duran project.
I did go.
Did you?
Yeah,
I did. It was interesting.
It was like a family reunion. I hadn't seen some of those people in a couple of years.
I only recognized one person there, the city engineer. It was interesting. I had a hard time finding out which way was which. I'm looking at this maps and just discovered that this isn't there, it's up there, then it's back over here in these different maps. They were telling me that they hope to start moving dirt next year. And this fiscal year, I guess it is. No? I'm lying, huh? Boy, what was it?
No, they're still doing environmental process. That will take at least 2 years.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so to the record of decision before they can do any right.
Yeah, so I would say in 4 years, maybe.
If they don't run into unexpected controversy or other unforeseen.
Well, the biggest controversy is they're trying to lessen traffic on Duran. And they opened the Dunkin' Donut, and that backs up traffic all the way on Duran now, trying to turn in there in the morning.
Well, the concept, just as a point of reference for everybody here, the concept of the Hempstead Connector has been in our long-range plan. I put it in our long-range plan in 1999. So that gives you an idea of the controversial project, how long the path can be. And many planning studies were done before they moved forward to get to this stage. And it's been it's been a difficult challenge for the neighborhoods, you know, to deal with something that long term. Just because some of the planning exercises have really, I think, given people an expectation that things are happening faster, and people don't always understand that for federal funding, there still would be this environmental process that is just now really beginning, that has to be gone through to get those federal dollars. So we're early in the federal process for that project, but we may be, you know, two-thirds, three-fourths of the way along the entire timeline, if you take in the totality of all the planning that had to go on to get to sort of a consensus about what the project needed to be.
I was surprised that they're going to be able to cut off the corner there of Fort Stewart, though.
That was...
That the government would give it up.
Well, that was a coup, yes. I mean, that was... getting land from a military base like that doesn't happen that often, so each time it's a special case. That's mm-hmm. not the first time they've gotten, I think, a little bit of land for a road project around Hunter.
Yeah, I think the Hunter recognizes that their existence right there kind of limits what the region can do about, like, east-west connectivity. So.
Once the project is done, that's going to help Stewart going in that Montgomery gate. Mm-hmm.
Definitely would be a big improvement in their access, absolutely.
Anyhow, item open for public comments. Hearing no public comments, announcements. One thing while we're under announcements, I wrote a note to myself and then didn't read my notes. Welcome Dr. Thomas, our one of our two newest members. She's representing Fort Wentworth.
Garden City.
Pardon me?
Garden City.
Garden City. I didn't write that down. I wrote down. That gives me for thinking. The city manager talked to me at the last NBO board meeting that he had been talking to her. Anyhow, I want to welcome her here. I understand we have one other new member, but she's not here this evening, from Effingham County. Anyhow, any other announcements?
I'm curious.
Comments? Doctor?
Are we going to, in the future, see other municipalities or entities, you know, representatives? You have four people, and you say, that's a core. I'm comfortable with that, because we've had bigger cores than that. However, it seems to me that we have not always had certain municipalities sending people to represent them, which is a problem. I mean, not a problem so much, but it is something to think about. I was wondering, I know we also in the past said, well, we can't make people come, we can't make people send people, they can't make people, what they set, appoint them, make them come. We understand that, but it would be comfortable, you know, it would be better if we did have more people coming and had them come.
At every
still as an observation, not something we can act on and make happen.
At every board meeting, I have to give a report, and at every board meeting, I remind cities that only a couple of them have members on there, and they're.
You said what were you talking about? The NPC board, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. The NPO board. Uh-huh. I'm talking. And I remind them at every meeting that, hey, and I talk to them also. So that's, I guess it's starting to get some. But we are still have just glancing at it, at least half a dozen vacancies.
Okay.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Please adjourn. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.